Welcome to another highly questionable week. This guy over here is Izzy Gutierrez again. I didn't mean to say that again so poisonously. What do you like on the show today, Izzy?
I was worried about our country at 10 a.m. this morning. Fortunately, we're okay.
No, we're not okay. We're still embarrassed. Winning by one? Get out of here. Dale, papi.
Will Jerry Jones regret giving Zeke a big contract?
All right, his name is Zeke, not Zeke. Jerry Jones turns 77 years old next month. For all this talk about disposable running backs, you can make the argument his window will close faster than Zeke Elliott's window. His team has won 3 playoff games in the last 2 decades, all of them wild card games. They need this guy in order to make Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott better. You're not just getting Ezekiel Elliott here. You're getting a Dak Prescott who fumbles less. You get an Amari Cooper who is going to be more effective because of the threat of Zeke. You're basically paying this money to keep your offense being better. They needed to do this no matter what.
You're basically talking about two conversations now. The long term with Zeke Elliott and whether they're mortgaging the future by giving a running back a good amount of money, and the conversation that's happening for the right now. And that's probably the diehard Dallas Cowboys fans, because we can get back to talking about what this team is, what their potential is, whether they can win a Super Bowl with this pair. And if they make it to, I don't know, 2 or 3 NFC title games over the next 5, 6 years, if they make one single Super Bowl appearance, this was absolutely worth it. But it's not until after we find this out whether we know if Jerry Jones is going to take a different tack when it comes to running back negotiations in the future. It's super interesting, but the Dallas Cowboys are saying, hey, we're right there with the Rams, Eagles, and Saints, all those teams right now.
Is Team USA victory over Turkey something to celebrate?
They're going to end up embarrassing us. I don't know how this team is favored. It should not be. The Serbian coach is talking trash, saying when we play well, we've got a player better than any player that they have, and may God help them. They needed missed free throws from Turkey in order to advance to this game. They needed help on a bailout call at the end, and Jason Tatum got hurt in order to get the free throws to get the game into overtime. You're sitting here struggling against somebody named Douche Baba. The Turkey team is not supposed to be one of the great teams in this tournament. There are better teams, and I believe that this team is going to end up losing and embarrassing us.
I mean, it was embarrassing already with a victory. I mean, Turkey choked. They had to choke away, miss multiple free throws in overtime for the U.S. to win this. And this is what it looks like. People talk about the depth of the USA team. Okay, that's all fine. But when you basically only have 2 players per offensive possession that touch the ball or are a factor, then it really takes away your depth when you've only got Kemba Walker, possibly Jason Tatum, in a pick and roll taking a shot. It eliminates everybody else. On the other end, you've got a guy named Seti Osman, who not a lot of even regular NBA fans know, one-on-one against Miles Turner in a simple pick and roll situation where they got the switch. And he takes him to the hole for an and one. In the NBA, that is a desired situation. It's just uncomfortable to watch a team that's talented but doesn't use it all against teams that are better with chemistry and are going to beat the USA. They will lose a game in this tournament.
That wasn't even the craziest finish today.
What
other finish was crazier than that? Oh, Greece and Brazil.
Oh, puts it away! Felicia!
Oh, he swatted the free throw because you're allowed to do that.
Oh, puts it away!
Wow. Felicia! Look at that. Look at that.
And Brazil have won! Brazil have...
I love how he flexed just by flicking, for flicking the ball away.
Cheating in America. That's not allowed.
Was Jalen Hurts being held back by Trikiniki?
Really? That's the way we're going to do this? We're not going to celebrate that Lincoln Riley has a way of producing Heisman winners? Look, I don't know and you don't know how good or bad Houston is at defense. Dana Holgerson's teams tend to be pretty bad at defense, but Jalen Hurts looked like a different quarterback with the spread offense and being able to do things in the open field where he's able to complete all but 3 of his passes, and he rushes for more yards than he ever has rushed for in a game. And he simply, because of offensive scheme, looks like the best athlete on the field and a field that is wide open. He is being used differently and used differently enough that it made the Alabama offense that utilized him look kind of prehistoric by comparison.
Regardless of the opponent, you're supposed to look rusty in the first game. You're supposed to look like, hey, you need some more practices or this should be a preseason game. He looked polished. He'd look, dare I say, perfect. But the thing is this isn't the Jalen Hurts that was a freshman at Alabama. He has clearly gotten better. He has developed. And he left there because the guy who's projected to be the number one pick in the draft is now the quarterback there. If Jalen Hurts is slightly worse than that, if he's a top 10 pick, a first round pick, in Oklahoma's offense, offense, he is going to look spectacular. So I expect a lot more of this and probably a Heisman Trophy.
I guess that for Tricky Nicky, the truth hurts.
You got it?
Wow. He got to the you got it pretty quick. Yeah, he didn't even let the joke sit there. He was asking whether you got it before he even finished the joke.
So Jalen Hurts had 500 yards and 6 touchdowns against Houston, eh? Mm-hmm. Houston, we have a problem. You get it?
Wow, very quick.
Yeah.
He gets to the you get it very quickly. If you don't get it quickly, he's going to tell you you didn't get it.
I think that Jalen Hurts wishes he had transferred to Oklahoma sooner. You get it?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, if he had done it sooner, I wish he had done you get it later.
Did the Texans get fleeced by the Seahawks?
They got fleeced by Jadeveon Clowney, who took a cue from Le'Veon Bell and decided to dictate the terms on his leverage. He wanted to be in Seattle, and they didn't have much of a choice, and so they ended up giving him up for too little. And then, afterward, they have to make the kind of trades to compensate for the fact that you must protect Deshaun Watson this season. So nobody looks at this and says anything other than the Texans gave up too much, and they're in win-now mode at a time that most of us don't think that they're good enough to be in win-now mode.
That's so funny about the Texans. I'm glad you bring that up, because it seems like for years they've been in win-now mode when nobody else thinks they should be. Remember Brock Osweiler? Hey, he's going to be the guy. Oh, yeah, get rid of him right away. Dwayne Brown was another weird thing. They got a left tackle in their hands. They didn't, okay, go ahead and go to the Seahawks. And now they messed this Jadeveon Clowney thing up, probably because they don't have a GM to tell them how to handle it. And frankly, they seem pretty set to be a good team, to be a team you could argue win their division, possibly come out of the AFC if they get on a roll late in the season. But do they seem like a well-organized team? Do they seem like a team that's got everything together or that has a plan? These trades better work out for them this year, because if they disappoint big time, you could see them blowing this thing up, because nobody's managing this well.
There are two things here that bear noting when you lose Clowney. One is that you make J.J. Watt a lot better by having Clowney. And two is, this was the best rushing defense in the league last year. And it was that because Clowney is very good at run defense. You might not like his sack numbers, even though he is a menace, but you have to love the way that he stops the run. It was a question coming out of college. It's not a question anymore. That front seven in Seattle is going to be a menace.
Oh, now J.J. Watt is in front of the spotlight again. He's going to make it happen, buddy. Without Clowney, he's going to be the man of the hour. He's going to make it happen.
Make
he's going
happen.
To get the Texans over the top
make
of the hill.
Happen. Okay, top of a hill.
That's
okay,
right.
There's
he's
a hill.
Going to make things real tough for
okay,
the other team.
There it is. All right, he's telling you.
It's been declared.
There's a little hill, and he's going to make it tough on the other side of that little hill.
Let's go, JJ.
My father's told you.
That's right.
Okay, and he agrees with himself.
Don't chop any wood, though.
Don't chop any wood. Okay, this is just the ramblings of an old man at this point.
All right, the Dolphins tanking too hard.
It is rare that you see this overtly in football, and yet they did the right thing because this team wasn't going to win very much the way it was constructed. So, of course, you get picks for the future. But if the producers would be kind enough to put the special section of the Miami Herald up here so that people can see, oops, there's Laremy Tunsil. He's no longer on this team. And also, if you could put up the calendar of the Miami Dolphins, they've got 12 months in a year. 8 of the months have been traded and are no longer on the team. So the Dolphins are doing this in a way you just don't normally see in this sport. They're going to be really bad, and they're going to be really bad on purpose. Even though their coach is saying, hey, we're not tanking, they're going to try really hard with bad players.
I mean, it's a team that tried really hard to win and was really good at losing, but now they're becoming too good at losing. It's laughable to even criticize them. The owner, Stephen Ross, said earlier that he doesn't want to do things the same way. He's not going to fill gaps with high-priced free agents and think that they have something special here, because they don't. So they're stripping it down, and next year you're talking about a team that projects to have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds and over $110 million in salary cap space. This could be a very quick rebuild. They have to lose a lot and get Tua from Alabama as their quarterback in order to really get people excited, but this is the way you do it, and this is the way you do it quickly.
But go on the internet right now and check out their depth chart. I'll give you a second in order to do that. Look at what they have at the two tackles. They don't have 2 starting tackles. They've only got backup tackles. They're headed for the first game of the season, and they don't have any tackles.
Ring, ring, Ring. Hello? Oh, Derek. Derek Cheater. Oh, Derek Cheater.
Cheater.
What's going on, buddy? Ah, you think that the Dolphins are making the right move? That they are getting rid of the good players? Cutting payroll to the bone? Yeah. You think that that's a hell of a move, huh? That's right. That they're using the same playbook they use with the Marlins. Huh? I'll let them know. No, no, no sweat.
No sweat. He'll let us know.
Coming up next on my Sauce TV show.
So at this point, we don't know if it's an actual catch. There's a scrum, but here he is. And I love it when the penalty flags come raining down here in the middle of this.
Time to play the game that got really nervous when he saw Pat Riley trending on Twitter. Do you question?
It's like a Betty White situation these days, isn't it? You give us topics and events, we question them.
He looked like Aladdin. That was strange.
Do you question Hugh Freeze's coaching?
This is so wonderful. Keep in mind, Hugh Freeze was out of football for a couple of years. The vacated 33 victories in Mississippi did not deter him from coming back this way, where he's in a hospital bed after a staph infection, coaching at Liberty. And here's him trying to talk to his team from the press box via video, a team, it should be noted, that scored 0 points. They would have scored that many points if Hugh Freeze had stayed in the hospital bed in the hospital. But here's Hugh Freeze trying to motivate his troops from the press box.
And so you get an opportunity early on in this game right here to stand toe to toe with them, hit them in the mouth.
What have been your emotions coming into today?
I told our kids at the hotel earlier, I don't think I've ever cried as much during a fall camp as I have this one.
As you take a look, you can see Coach stretched out there. A unique situation, to say the least, as he's doing everything he can to end the walkout towards midfield. You see, look at that. Motioning up to Hugh Freeze, the thumbs up back to him on respect.
It is unbelievable. He doesn't really need to comment. The laughter suffices, doesn't it?
Do you question if this was unsportsmanlike conduct?
I love mascots. I think mascots make everything better. And you tell me, do you think that this game between Jackson State and Bethune-Cookman, when Jackson State scored a touchdown, was made better by a mascot who should not have been penalized for this?
Jones does drop back to pass as Warren Newman.
So at this point, we don't know if it's an actual catch. There's a scrum, but here he is. And I love it when the penalty flags come raining down here in the middle of this.
Of course. Look, I've never been a mascot, but I assume they tell you if the referees are still there, stay away, Tiger. Stay away. But it looks like he's trying to figure out who's got the ball in a fumble scrum. What is he doing?
Look at him. He's got swag. I don't care about your 15 yards. How about you eat some of this?
Well, that mascot was pretty good, but I've seen better.
Oh, have you? No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Oh.
Oh, mascot montages are wonderful.
Especially with the music.
Yes.
Takes me back to this week in baseball.
Oh. George Foreman might have actually knocked that one
Oh,
out.
What was that?
Yeah, this is dangerous and dumb there. Yeah. I think he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
That's a funny chicken getting hit.
He always looks like that. Oh, this was not on purpose.
This was an accident. That was
not
on purpose.
Oh, poor Dora.
And then this isn't a mascot at all. This is just flaming cheese. This is just fondue. A human being in peril is all that is.
Do you question if the punter had this coming?
We're not covering the big games in college football this weekend very well, but we're covering the little ones pretty well. You've got St. Francis here involved in a game against Lehigh, and the punter here drops the ball. And when the punter drops the ball, bad things happen.
Oh, dear God.
The violence of that was unpleasant.
Does anybody deserve that?
Let's see it again from another angle. Thank you. There it is. Ouch. That is cleanly as you can hit another human being right there. You're thinking to yourself, how does this get worse? Once I've dropped it the first time, how does it get worse? Oh, I'm going to drop it a second time, but it can't get worse than this, right? And oh, yes, it can get worse after you've dropped it the second time because you can hit by that. And then it can't get worse than that. Oh, yes, it can. Here they go, all of them in the other direction with the football. You're on your bat, fighting for your breath, and that's the sound you hear, everyone roaring because the ball's headed the other way.
A punter's worst nightmare come true.
It couldn't have been any worse than that.
Well, at least he didn't get hit by Sean Taylor.
Oh, wow. We're going back into the Wayback File.
Oh, man.
A Pro Bowl.
A Pro Bowl hit.
Yes. Ah! Ah!
There was no need to leave your feet there.
They changed all the rules of the Pro Bowl after that.
Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that is so happy that we are only a few games away from football. Yeah! See? Oh, no.
It's a few days away, not games. That's okay. You tell us what to watch on television tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
A few baseball games away.
On Sportsnet LA, Rockies and Dodgers.
The Dodgers are really good. They scored 16 runs yesterday. They're 90 victories already. But let's make fun of one of their bum fans who comes to the park here with a glove. You come to the park, the ball is hit right to you. Oh, you are filled with shame. If you come with a glove, you have to make that catch. Oh, but at least you're not, Louis World, going home with camouflage cargo shorts. Izzy, are you intrigued? I'm sorry.
I was just about to say, not just the glove, not just the personalized jersey, the camo cargo shorts. Man, your life is over.
Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued because you know who is pitching for the Rockies tonight?
Who's that?
Chichi Gonzalez.
Oh.
And that guy, even though his record is 0-6 and he has an ERA of about 9, you know what I mean? Tonight is going to be the 9 that is going to win a big game for the Rockets. So I'm going to be watching Chichi.
It's not even that big a game, but his name is Chichi Gonzalez. My father just wanted to say that.
Close.
Tonight on ESPN, the U.S. Open.
Oh, I know many of you are rooting for Federer and Nadal. Not this guy over here. I've got a new favorite. This guy trolling the U.S. Open audience. Medvedev does this masterfully. Look at this, where he's just making fun of these people for not rooting for him.
Well, first of all, what I can say that thank you all, guys, because your energy tonight give me the win. Because if you were not here, guys, I would probably lose the match. Because I was so tired, I was cramping yesterday, it was so tough for me to play. So I want all of you to know, when you sleep tonight, I won because of you. The energy you're giving me right now, guys, I think it will be enough for my 5 next matches. I mean, the more you do this, the more I will win for you guys. Thank you. Yeah, I'm playing really good on hard. But what I need to say again is that today I was losing 6-3-2-0. I was painful in my adductor before the match. I thought I'm not going to play. I was painful in my shoulder. I took as much painkillers as I could. And you guys, being against me, you gave me so much energy to win. Thank you.
Much painkillers. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, absolutely. Listen, if I'm a foreign-born tennis player, male tennis player, I'm going to troll at the U.S. Open. Why? Because what American male is going to challenge me? There's nobody out there that's good enough. This guy's a genius.
Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. You know, I got an idea, buddy. You play doubles with Nick Kyrgios, you know, and they'll never stop booing you. You know, they boo you in the court, in the street, in the subway, when you take a taxi cab, when you go to the store, you know, when you buy clothing, when you buy milk, you know, you them ice cream, they'll be booing you all over the place with Nick Kyrgios. That's your dream. That's what you got to do. That's right.
Boo.
Today on HBO, The Shop.
My father, excited. Does he know this is a LeBron show? I think he might have forgotten that it was a LeBron show. Otherwise, he'd be... Yeah, he did forget. See, I told you he forgot. All right, let's see what we have here.
I saw Gronk out one time. I said, there's no way he's going to play Sunday.
I had social anxiety.
I lived downtown in Cleveland. I didn't even go outside the whole year.
You're not treated like a superstar in that organization.
Not even Brady.
With all that early success, you felt it was important to make an announcement.
For me, doing this while you're at the top, you know it's like for real.
Like, Kev, you didn't obviously grow up in the hood.
First of all, I think my record speaks for itself.
No, I'm talking to that Kev.
Oh, okay.
It's a good, easy idea for content. Get a bunch of people together talking. Get well, Kevin Hart. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Absolutely. It's a brilliant show. Rob Gronkowski still looks 30 pounds heavier there than he does right now. That guy is just getting skinny at a crazy rate.
He is like a polar bear walking the Arctic there, unable to find food. Boppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. That show is like the playoff. LeGroin didn't make it.
I mean, where was
right.
he?
Where was he?
Where was he?
Where was he?
I didn't gotcha. See him. Didn't want to be anywhere where you find Kevin Love.
Or that.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
We will talk to you again tomorrow. Same place.
You know, if that is a bad episode, LeGroin is going to blame Kevin Love.
I know, that's true.
Yes,
that's true. If that's no good, if the ratings are down, he's going to blame Kevin Love.
Poor Kevin.